Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for today, Jesus speaks to us about heaven. In fact, heaven is the ultimate goal for all of us, our ultimate destination. Now, many of us have different images of heaven. Maybe the image of God on a throne with the angels around him, or maybe images of angels on clouds, or the lives of the saints, or maybe relatives that have passed. The church gives us some images, rest. You know, at funerals we say, "Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them." Or we say in Latin, "Requiem est pace," so may the person rest in peace. And so we believe heaven is also a place of rest. You know, amongst the challenges that we live in this world, you know, the ups and downs of life, the hardships that we face, well, towards the end of our life, you know, we want rest. In fact, eternal rest with God. Another vision the church gives us is the beatific vision, in which we see the beauty of God's face for all of eternity. So we have all these different visions of heaven. Well, in the Gospel for today, Jesus tells us heaven is like a house, in fact, his Father's house. Now, just as an FYI, this Gospel passage that we heard today is probably one of the most popular readings, Gospel readings, that families choose when they are planning for the funeral of a loved one, because the image is so comforting. Now, we have to appreciate the context in which this Gospel is set in. Right now, Jesus is with his apostles, and it's the Last Supper. So he is preparing them for his passion and death. Notice what he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Well, Jesus wants to protect his apostles from despair when they see him dying on the cross. But also he wants to protect them from discouragement when the persecutions come their way. And we all know they did. And so only the peace of God, which surpasses any understanding, you know, can calm the anxiety that the apostles are feeling right now. But more importantly, you know, death is no longer the final say over us. In fact, death is a doorway into an eternal life with God in heaven. Now, Jesus continues. He says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Well, again, it's a very comforting image. You know, it's just the image of home. You know, we look back in our early years in life, we think about our home with our family, our parents. You know, it's a place where we know we belong there. And we also know it's a place in which we feel safe. Well, that's what heaven is. Jesus continues, "I will prepare a place for you, and at the appointed time, I will come back." Well, this is the level of proximity where God wants to share with us in heaven. God wants to be close to us. In fact, very present to us. When we get to heaven, God is not going to be in a house up on top of a mountain and we're below in a valley. No. God wants for us to be ever close to him, as if we're residing within the same house. Again, it's the image of a family in which each member of that family plays an important role in the overall well-being of that household. See, this is what God intends for all of us. Jesus continues. He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you there myself." Well, again, it's a great message of hope. You know, we have to realize there is a place, a room in heaven that is waiting for all of us and has been prepared for each and every one of us. And this is all part of God's plan, what God intended from the very beginning, before the fall of grace. When you stop and think, you know, God, you know, was in the garden with Adam and Eve. He was living in close proximity with Adam and Eve. And see, that's exactly what God wants. for us when we get to heaven. And so our ultimate goal is, yes, it is heaven. Therefore, we must try and live lives worthy of that great gift that God wants to give us. St. John Chrysostom once said, "We are resident aliens in this world. Our true citizenship doesn't belong in this world. No, instead it belongs in heaven. And therefore, heaven is our homeland." Now, does this mean we should always be fixated on heaven and therefore divest ourselves from the world? Treat the world with antipathy, where we just don't care about it. We close ourselves off from the world. In fact, just on the contrary, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." See, therein lies the paradox. You know, we have to make sure that we always are fixated on the goal, heaven, and therefore, at the same time, we're motivated to engage the world with a deep passion. Well, where is that most clearly seen? In the lives of the saints. I'll give you just a couple of them. St. Catherine Drexel, the first American-born saint. She was born in 1858 into a very wealthy and prominent family in Philadelphia. And her parents were very strong Catholics. Well, when she was in her 20s, both of her parents died and left her an inheritance of $20 million. In this day and age, it's probably worth maybe $500 million. Now, she traveled around the United States, especially in the South and the southwestern parts of the United States. And she was really shocked, even appalled, at how the African Americans and the Native Americans, how they had a lack of resources to schools and also to healthcare institutions. And that really resonated deep with inside of her, to the extent that she went to Rome and sought an audience with the Pope. And when she met with the Pope, she begged that the Pope send a missionary order to help the Native Americans and African Americans of our country. Well, the Pope looked at her and said, "You do it. You establish that order." And she did. She established the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. And then she took all of her inheritance and she gave it to the religious order. And what did they do with it? Well, they established clinics and hospitals and schools throughout the South and the southwestern part of the United States to help the African and Native Americans of our country. And so St. Catherine, she was always fixated on the goal, heaven, but she engaged the world with a passion. Towards the end of her life, she had a massive heart attack, and the doctors told her to slow down. And so the last 20 years of her life, she spent in her mother's house, you know, nearby Philadelphia. And she said those last 20 years of her life were the most spiritually productive ever. Every day, for several hours a day, she prayed for her nuns as well as for the order, that they may be successful in their ministry. Let's look at St. Paul. St. Paul, basically, he was always fixated on the goal. If you read all of his letters, he tells us that just that. In fact, if you read his early letters, like Thessalonians, you know, Paul believed that he was going to see the second coming within his lifetime. If you turn to Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about how God will descend from heaven, and with a loud and mighty voice, the voice of an archangel, he will cry out, and the dead will be raised from their coffins, and those that are living will be also raised up to heaven. Well, Paul is basically describing the rapture. Now, after a while, you can read the letters of like Corinthians and Romans later on. Paul kind of toned down that message, but nonetheless, the message was still the same. We have to always be fixated on the goal. And Paul was. And in doing so, he engaged the world. In fact, he set it on fire. Paul was probably the greatest of all the apostles, the greatest evangelizer. He evangelized Asia as well as Europe. He established dozens and dozens of churches throughout Asia and Europe. If you look at his writings and his letters, you know, I would argue almost every Sunday throughout our liturgical year, we're reading from one of Paul's letters. His letters, you could say, are the gift that keeps giving. Even though those letters are 2,000 years old, they continue to help us, inform us about teaching us regarding God, a relationship with God, the sacraments, especially baptism and communion, the structure of our church, how we are to live out the virtuous life. And so those letters of Paul give us a wealth of theological information that we are continually learning from. And so, yes, Paul did engage the world. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, we have to follow suit. We have to always be fixated on the goal. The best way to do that, coming to Mass every weekend. Jesus tells us, John 6:54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. It's it right there. Every time we gaze upon the altar after the consecration, there's the goal. There is a bit of heaven in our midst. And so we're fixated on that. So we come to Mass every weekend. But we also engage the world. In this case, our little corner of the world, our parish. We do it with stewardship. We share our prayers and we share our prosperity, but also the skills and abilities. You know, volunteer for the variety of ministries that we have in our parishes. From, you know, liturgical ministry to human concerns to teaching our kids catechesis. That's one way to engage the world. Another way, live out the virtuous life. Patience, prudence, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. But also teach it to our children and even our grandchildren. That's another way to engage the world. A third way, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Feed the hungry, visit the sick, comfort the afflicted, teach the faithful. See, those are ways, and again, we engage the world by always being fixated on the goal, which is heaven. Today, Jesus gives us a very clear and yet powerful message. We have to always be fixated on the goal, heaven, where our true homeland is, our citizenship. But in doing so, we're motivated to engage the world by essentially being active in our parish, living the virtuous life, and helping others. And see, then we are truly following the words of Jesus Christ. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.